Well, good morning, church family. Great to see you all this morning. Lots of good fellowship going on. Welcome to Wylie Methodist Church. For those of you worshiping online, thank you for joining us this morning. Our pastor is on a much-needed break. He has been out of town all week. He's out today. If you want to leave before I preach, this is the chance to do that. I'd really appreciate you staying, but the A-team will be back next Sunday, so come back next Sunday. I was thinking about some scripture that I'm ringing up here. Artis, can you fix that? Want me to be louder? You mean to move this up? Is that louder? Better? Okay. Thinking about some scripture that may help us engage in worship. This is Nehemiah 9, 5 through 6. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. I mean, I don't know if you thought about this, but this morning we're joining the angels in worshiping the Lord. What a great privilege we have to do that. So pray with me as we begin to encounter God. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for opportunities to be with your people. And Father, I pray that you just surprise us by your goodness this morning. I pray you surprise us by your presence this morning. Oh, Father, I don't know what we anticipated happening today, but I pray it's beyond and above, more than we could ever think or imagine. And Father, right now the angels are just singing your praises, declaring that you're holy, holy, holy. Lord, I pray that we have this incredible spiritual connection with what's going on in the throne room right now. So, Father, we bless your name. Father, we praise you. God, we adore you this morning. Father, allow your face to shine on us, God, as we seek you. And we love you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and worship the Lord together.
Thank you. amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner and unclean. Children's sermon, it sure is. Come on down.
Hurry up. Hey guys. Oh, there you are. Hey Colton. Good to see y'all. How's everybody today? Everybody good?
I found new shoes.
You got new shoes? All right. Well, good. I'm glad that you have new shoes. Yeah. Got a few more coming. Good to see everybody this morning. Are you excited to be here? Are you excited to be here? Yeah, all right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Did y'all enjoy that rain this morning? No? Did it wake you up? Yeah. Did it? Well, you didn't wake you up. Okay, so I brought my lunch with me today. I was kind of hungry, so I made a couple sandwiches. Okay? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Okay? So I have two sandwiches. All right. So they look alike? Do you think they're alike? Do you think they're the same kind of sandwich?
No.
All right. Let me see what this one is. Oh, you think so? Let me see. Ooh. This one is, what is this one? Peanut butter and jelly. Everybody like peanut butter and jelly? Okay. Well, you like. Okay. So let me see if... Okay, let me see if my other sandwich is any better, because I just got some stuff out of the refrigerator. I wanted two different ones, so I've got another sandwich here, okay? So I'm going to open up this sandwich. Looks just like the other one, doesn't it? It's got two pieces of bread. Okay, let me see what this one is. Oh, pickles and ketchup.
I'll eat it.
You'll eat it? Do you like that? Well, I think most people wouldn't like the pickles and ketchup sandwich. Do you?
Yeah,
I don't think I would eat this one either.
My dad likes it.
Your dad likes it? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad that your dad likes that. So, all right. So, well, we have two sandwiches. Do they look alike?
No,
they don't look alike?
Kind of.
One red's purple and one's red's
orange. Yes, but do you know... Yeah, so they're each have two pieces of bread, right? But it's what's on the inside of the sandwich that matters, right? So we like the peanut butter and jelly. Do we like the ketchup and pickles? No, that's right. It's what is important is it's what's on the inside of the sandwich that matters, right? To make it delicious, right? Okay. So, you know, I thought about this and I'm like, sandwiches are kind of like people.
They are.
Well, they are, yeah. It's what's on the inside of us that counts. Would you ever think about that?
No.
1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outside of the person, but the Lord looks at what's in the heart. He looks at what's inside of us. Do we want good stuff inside of us?
Yeah.
Do we have good stuff inside of us?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some things that are good inside of us? Yeah, what are some good things inside of you? Is there love?
Yeah.
Is there joy?
Yeah.
Is there peace?
Yeah.
Patience?
Yeah.
Kindness?
Goodness?
Gentleness? What about caring for others? What about sharing?
Not too much?
Okay. Well, all right. Well, so do we want good stuff? But do we have other stuff inside of us too? Maybe some not so good stuff? What are some not so good stuff? What about, what about maybe just being selfish?
Lying.
What about just being angry all the time?
Yeah.
You're never angry? Okay. What about just being mean? Is that inside of us?
No.
Well, I don't want that inside of us. But sometimes we do get selfish. Sometimes we are mean and we don't realize we're mean. But do you know who can take care of that and fill us with the good stuff? Who can? God can. That's right. So when we ask God to help us, to fill us with his good stuff, that's what's important. That's what he sees. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside, does he? No, he doesn't care if we have blonde hair, brown hair, green hair, orange hair, whatever, right? Yeah, he cares what's on the inside of us. God loves us so much that he wants us to be filled with his goodness so that we can love others. Because if we have the not so good stuff inside of us, can we love others? No, it's hard to love others when we are not very kind on the inside, but we are filled with love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness. Guess what we can do? We can be kind and good and loving to others around us, and we can tell others about Jesus. So do you want the good stuff or the bad stuff? You want the peanut butter and jelly or you want the ketchup and the pickles? Ketchup and pickles, okay. Okay. All right, well, I think I want to be filled with the good stuff. But even if we get filled with some of the bad stuff, some of the not so good stuff, you know what we can do? We can ask God to forgive us, and he will fill us with the good stuff. All right? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you do fill us with the good stuff. And I thank you that when we do have some of the bad stuff, that you will forgive us and that you help us to know when we need to be filled with love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness, Lord. And we thank you for these families that are here, and we thank you for your love for us. And we just ask for your blessings over us as we go to Children's Church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. All right, y'all ready?
Good morning, church. So, as Billy said, the B team's in today, which means y'all have me for the prayer time. No. Yay, thanks. Appreciate it. So, with that being said, we wanted to once again thank y'all for all coming this morning and joining us in person or online. If you are with us for the first time this morning, in the back of the chairs in front of you, you might see a card that looks like this. It has a blue top that says guests. We would love you to fill this card out so we have a little information on you, so we can know you better, so we can connect you to our emails and all the things going on in our church. And then also, it's a great opportunity that there's another card on there for that says connect with us, I believe. And that connect card, or get connected, excuse me, there's also this card in there. And this one is for people, you know, a lot of times changes in life happen. Maybe you get a new phone number, maybe you move, maybe you get a new email address, and you wonder, hey, why did I stop getting church emails? Well, it's because we don't have your new email address. So these cards are great for that purpose. If you have a change in the way that we need to connect with you, fill out one of these cards. You can come put it in the offering plate or leave it on your chair at the end of service, and we'll collect those. And if you have a guest card, I believe Billy will be out there today over by the coffee and the donuts, and he'd love to meet with you, and he'd love to welcome you to our church in person at the end of this service. And so we'd love for you to do that if you were a guest with us this morning. If you will stand with me, we will recite the Apostles' Creed. And just a reminder, I believe as of last week, we started with a new revised version of the Apostles' Creed that changed a few of the words that helped a little confusion and a little lack of clarity. And so we'll be reading that one today, this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So as we enter this time of prayer, in personal study and getting ready for this fall, the high school, which I primarily teach on Wednesday nights, is going to be going through the book of Romans. And so I've been rereading through Romans, and that's been really, really fresh on my mind as of the past couple weeks, and starting to reread through that and prep for this fall. And in personal study, I was reading Romans this past week while on vacation, and something really, really stuck out to me. And I wanted to kind of focus our prayer time on that today. And that's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. I'm going to read that real quick, and then we can talk about it for just a second. And it says, "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." And I don't know why, but that really, really resonated with me this past week. And it was one of those things that I really thought, and I was like, well, I've definitely had times where I wasn't thankful when God was in my life that I really needed to be thankful for, and I need to start practicing that. So, man, how many things do we give God credit for or forget to give God credit for that we're blessed with every day? You know, for some of us, it's really, really easy to just overlook the fact that God gives us the breath in our lungs. Do we stop and thank him for it? Do we enter each day with a mindset of gratitude for the things that God has given and put in our lives? Sometimes that's hard, church, especially in the world around us that's saying, hey, you did that. That's all you. Good job. Congrats on that promotion. Congrats on that. No. God put you where you are, in the circumstances you are, to give him glory. And are you being thankful in the mindset that whatever you have and whatever is coming your way is a gift from God. Even the trials. Oof, that's hard. And one of the biggest messages that I've heard out of this 2020 pandemic was, I learned so much by just stopping and actually listening to God in this past year. I stepped back from everything I was doing, everything that involved my time and my resources. I had a moment to stop and breathe, and God taught me fill in the blank. I think that's what God was trying to get me to wrap my mind around, is he's like, hey, I know you know who I am, but I want you to be thankful for what you have. I want you to be thankful for what I gave you, and I want you to be content in all circumstances, like Paul says. So that's my prayer this morning. And if you would mind joining me in prayer, that's where we're going to lead it this morning. And as always, the altar rails are open, but join with me in prayer. God, I don't think there's any person in this room or watching us online that wants to be considered a fool in your eyes. God, we thank you for the gift of your son. And while that one's very, very easy to remember and recite, God, I pray that we actually have intention behind that thankfulness. God, we act in service out of the gratitude for what you've done in our hearts and our minds and through our souls. God, we thank you for the promise that you give us and the promises that are yet to come. We thank you that we have the promise that even though some people may have passed in this lifetime, we have the promise that we get to see them in the future because of what you did on the cross. We have the promise that each day is a gift from you, and we have the reminder every single morning we wake up that you once again chose to put breath in our lungs. God, we are completely and utterly in awe of who you are. For someone that has the power to create the stars and the planets and the galaxies and all of creation, God, you still take time to answer each and every one of our needs. And God, sometimes we don't give you enough credit for that, and we really like to dwindle down what we ask of you because we don't trust enough in who you are. So God, I pray that we'd be bold in our prayer requests. I pray that we'd be expectant that you can answer anything. You can do anything because you are unlike anything else. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are everywhere. God, allow us to remember the goodness that you bring, and allow us to remember the teachings and instructions that you gave to the disciples that have transferred to us. And God, one of those specifically is the prayer that you taught the disciples to pray that we recite. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Y'all can bring your offering down on this song if you'd like. Do the online giving. Send the offering through a text. I think we can do all those things. Isn't that right? I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up and patched me up like you do every time I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me raising your he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty. Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good,
good God Almighty.
Tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God Almighty. Oh, tell me, is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
He is good God. In the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. How about that? My prayer this morning was that we could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We were created to feel things. You know, God created us that we can sense His Holy Spirit. Sometimes goosebumps. Sometimes the hair raises up on the back of your neck. Sometimes with tears. Sometimes with laughter. Father, we just want a visit from Your Holy Spirit. We know that You live on the inside of each one of us. Your Spirit is in us, and we just want to feel it. caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. Never
Well, church, is Jesus enough for us? Amen. Absolutely is. Nothing else. Well, welcome again. A couple of things, excuse me, before we get into the sermon. Marv Gregory is leading the older elementary camp this week. Marv, that's correct. Do you still need a male sponsor for that? Marv said he could sure take a male sponsor. And as long as they're breathing, they're qualified. Pardon me? And loves Jesus. Yeah, if you're breathing and you love Jesus, see Marv. And also, our Promise Keepers trip was full, and we had one person that had to back out this morning. So, men, if one of you would like to go with us, that trip will be paid for. You will be responsible for one meal, maybe a $10 meal outside of that. That trip will be free. I'm really excited about this. I really am. There's something stirring in me that maybe God really wants to do something and shake us men to the core of who we are. So that's this Friday and Saturday. So if you'd like to go, please see me after the service. Artis, is my mic loud enough? We good? Okay. This morning, I would like to share a few thoughts about the kingdom of God. And, you know, every Sunday, we say the Lord's Prayer. And every Sunday, we pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You are set apart from us. You're transcendent. You're on another level. Hallowed be your name. And then Jesus teaches his disciples and us as well to pray that his kingdom will come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So every Sunday we pray that, Lord, your kingdom come. So I guess a good question to ask is, what does that look like? I mean, every Sunday we're praying for his kingdom to come. And are we expecting anything when we pray that? You know, Carlene and I have been in this church for 16 years. And I worked for the fire service the first couple of years we were here. And so I wasn't here every Sunday, but for the last 14, I've probably been here 50 Sundays a year. We don't miss very many Sundays. And so I just did the math. 14 years times 50 is 700. Is that right? 700 times I've recited the Lord's Prayer. God, let your kingdom come. And to be honest, I had no idea what I was praying for. And maybe I'm the only one. And so God started stirring me about that. And I think I'm supposed to share a few thoughts on that this morning. Now, I think we all have a basic idea of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is that. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom. And there's a king that rules over this kingdom. Almighty God is the king. I believe Jesus Christ co-reigns with him. I know Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And sometimes we have this image of God being here and Jesus at his right hand, maybe on a lesser throne or a lower throne. For me, it's like, man, they're on two identical thrones and they're both ruling and reigning simultaneously. So this kingdom has a king. God's the king. Jesus is the king. And this kingdom is eternal. Scripture says it's a kingdom that will have no end. And the believers in Jesus Christ are part of that kingdom. You and I, if we're in Christ, we are part of that kingdom. We're members of the kingdom. And it's a kingdom that is future, but it's also a kingdom that is for the here and now. And so I just want to dig into some scripture. I want to throw a lot of scripture at you this morning. So you've got a blank sermon note page in your bulletin, front and back, if you need to. I encourage you to try to keep up. There's so many that there won't be any on the screen. And Lee Butler is glad for that, right, Lee? And I just got some stuff. Do what?
Snorting.
I don't know what he said, but it was funny. But anyway. He's snoring. Okay. Yeah, Lee said he'd have a chance to go to sleep today since he didn't have anything to do. But so man, I want to dive into this and let's see what God's word says about the kingdom. So pray with me. Father, I thank you for opportunities to be together again. Lord, I thank you for opportunities to be in your word. And Lord, I fear there's too many times that we recite things as believers in Christ, and they have no teeth to them. They have no meaning to them. And so would you teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning exactly what we're praying for, or maybe just a glimpse of what we're praying for when we pray for the kingdom to come. There's so many things in the Word that happens when the kingdom comes. And so open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to those things as we learn together. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So before we get to the kingdom, I want to take you on a little journey. I want to talk about the presence of God. You know, when God created the universe, that his presence filled his creation. David mentions that in Psalm 139. He says, God, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the highest of heights, you're there. If I go to the depths of the earth, you're there. And, you know, that could have been David's opinion. I think David was spot on. I think that was Holy Spirit inspired, because God said himself in Jeremiah 23:23-24, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? We can't get away from God. Do not I fill the heaven and the earth? So God himself says that his presence fills his creation. Now, I've got this theological bent. I mean, I've got some convictions about things. We all have that. And every once in a while, my theology is challenged. I like for that to happen. And more times than not, when I read statements by A.W. Tozier, my theology is challenged. And he just wrecks what I thought felt was right. But he challenged a statement he made, really challenged me on this. Because for a lot of years, I've thought that if there are boundaries in the universe, if they're out there, then the very presence of God pushes against those boundaries. I mean, just presses against those, because he fills the heavens and the earth. And A.W. Tozier came to the conclusion that maybe it's not quite that way. Maybe the presence of God doesn't necessarily fill the universe, but maybe the presence of God contains the universe. Wrapped up in who he is, his creation is there. And, you know, it took me about a week to get over that one. I mean, trying to think through the possibility of that happening. So his presence is everywhere. Paul talks about this presence in Acts chapter 17. He's preaching at Athens, and the people in Athens were pagans. They worshiped any god that they knew about, and they also didn't want to offend any particular god they didn't know about, so they made an inscription to an unknown god, just in case they're covering their bases. And so Paul saw that, and he seized on the opportunity to share the gospel. He says, let me tell you about this unknown god. And so he tells him about Creator God, that he determines exact times and places that we live. You can find him if you grope for him. He says, as a matter of fact, he's not far from any of us. And also, in him, we, Paul and the people in Athens, in him, we live and move and have our being in God. I mean, his presence is everywhere. I don't know if you thought about it this morning, but when you drove to church this morning, you drove through the presence of the Lord, the presence of God. I did the same thing. When I walked up to this platform a while ago, I walked through the presence of God to get here. The universal presence of God is awesome. Church, but that's not the kingdom of God. That's just his presence. There are several other kingdoms that I won't speak about this morning. There's the kingdoms of this world that Jesus was offered to by Satan during the temptation. There's a kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:12. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So there are other kingdoms, and we're not going to spend any time on those this morning. I just want to talk about the kingdom of God, the thing that we pray to come every Sunday. So this kingdom is referred to the kingdom of God in Scripture, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, among others. And I just went through the Gospels and also some of Paul's writings just to see exactly what happens when the kingdom of God is mentioned in Scripture. So buckle your seatbelt. We're going to run through 13 different scriptures real quick. If you want to jot them down and go back and look later, you can do that. So I'll give you the reference and tell you what the the Bible communicates. In Mark 1:15, Jesus said, "A time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Because the kingdom of God had come near, there's opportunities for repentance. In John 3:5, we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we're born of water and the Spirit. Everybody's been born of water. Every one of us have had a natural birth, but you have to be born of water and the Spirit. In Matthew 5:20, our righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, and we have Pharisees in this particular day, religious stick in the muds, I guess. I don't know a good word to stick in there, modern day version of scribe and Pharisees, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now this is interesting. In Luke 10:9, Jesus gave his disciples authority to heal. And when that happened, he told them to declare that the kingdom of heaven had come near to those people that were healed. Jesus drove out demons in Luke 11:20. He made the statement that he drives them out by the finger of God. And when that happened, he said, "The kingdom of heaven has come near," or "come upon you," when that happens. I don't know why Jesus used that reference. It just didn't take much. I mean, I can't do much with my fingers. I'm thinking about me trying to put pressure with my pinky finger. There's nothing really significant I can do with that finger. Jesus said, "If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of heaven had come near." Matthew 19:14, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those that come to him like little children. Come in humility." Matthew 5:3, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit." Matthew 5:10, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Matthew 11:12, "The kingdom of God is taken by force by those that believe." And another gospel says that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I think about us being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. It's something that we can't do. It's got to be something incredibly supernatural for that to happen. In Mark 4:30 and following, it's compared to a mustard seed. There's faith involved there, but it also talks about this explosive growth when this mustard seed turns into a mustard plant. It's also compared to growth in Matthew 13:33 when Jesus shared a parable about the leaven or the yeast that works through the entire lump of dough, that it just grows and it increases in size when the kingdom comes. And the last reference, Matthew 13:44, it's compared to a treasure in the field, and when it's found, it's buried, and that person goes and sells everything he has to buy the field because the treasure is precious to him. So I was thinking about those references and thinking about us praying for the kingdom to come. And so as we pray that, unbeknownst to us, or maybe we actually anticipate some of these things happening. I just want to go back through the list and look at what can happen when his kingdom comes. So when his kingdom comes, there's opportunities, and comes near, there's opportunities for repentance for people to believe in the good news. And when the kingdom comes, those who are only born of water have an opportunity to be born of the Holy Spirit. And when his kingdom comes, there's opportunities for physical healing to take place. When the kingdom comes near to those people, there's opportunities for demons and those who are struggling with demonic oppression. There's opportunities for freedom there when the kingdom comes near or comes upon people. And those who are in the kingdom need to embrace that it's okay to be poor in spirit when the kingdom comes. And also those who are in the kingdom are encouraged to embrace us being persecuted and persecuted for righteousness' sake. I've been talking to people that really feel like persecution is coming on the church in America. And that may happen someday. But they're saying in such a way that it's something they dread. It's something they're just, to be honest, just whine about. Oh my goodness, I hope persecution doesn't come. But if we're in the kingdom, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. We should embrace that when the kingdom comes. The kingdom of God exists side by side. I don't think I mentioned this reference, Matthew 13. I think I skipped that. It exists side by side with the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus mentions that when he shared the parable of the wheat and the tares. You may or may not remember that parable, but a sower went out and sowed wheat in a field, the owner of the field. And then somebody come in unbeknownst to that owner and sowed weeds in, and they looked identical until they started to grow, and harvest time came. And so the kingdom of God exists side by side. There's no overlap, but exists side by side by the kingdom of darkness. And when the kingdom comes, we should expect or pray for growth in the body of Christ. Incredible growth, explosive growth. And then the last reference, where it's compared to a treasure in the field, I believe when the kingdom comes, and we really understand how precious is this treasure that we have in him and us, that we would be willing to give up everything for it. You know, most days I don't know if I'm there or not, to be honest. This treasure, this person went and found this treasure, he buried it and went and sold everything he had. Bought the field this treasure was in just so he would have the treasure. He didn't really care about the field. He wanted the treasure. And so for us, I think when the reality of the kingdom comes, that maybe there's a heightened awareness of how special and how awesome our relationship with Christ is. It should be the primary reason we get out of bed every morning. I need to love Jesus more than I love my wife. I need to love Jesus more than I love my children. This is a hard one. I need to love Jesus more than I love my granddaughter. That's kind of difficult for me. I don't want to place her higher than Jesus. I need to love Jesus more than I love my stuff. I need to treasure him more than I treasure my house, my car, my cell phone, anything I own. I should be willing to sell everything I have because I'm part of the kingdom. It should be that special to us. Everybody okay? Amen. Okay. So we're supposed to pray for the kingdom to come, and we're also told to seek the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first, not second, not third, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all external things will be added. And in the context of that, Jesus was speaking about not being anxious for food and drink and clothing and housing. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all that would be added. But it's even more than that. It's even more than just external things. In Romans 14:17, Paul is talking about things, about eating and drinking, and he makes the statement that the kingdom is more than that, because the kingdom itself consists of righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. So as we seek the kingdom, as we pray for his kingdom to come, those things should exist in us. And church, we are seeking a kingdom that Hebrews 12:28 says cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. And for me, for the last several months, I have chosen to focus on this kingdom that can't be shaken. You know, we can focus on that kingdom. We can focus on the kingdoms of this world. Obviously, the kingdoms of this world can be shaken. The kingdoms of this world are incredibly fragile. Trevor and I were talking about that this morning. But I am personally choosing to focus on the kingdom of God during this time. And I encourage you to do that as well. I mean, it seems like every week there's some shaking going on in the kingdoms of this world. I mean, they're having the Olympics. Anybody like the Olympics? Are you going to watch the Olympics? You know, they can't have fans at the Olympics this year. How How frustrating is that going to be for the athletes because of COVID possibilities? Just seem like every week there's something new. There's some kind of shaking going on. There's something distressing. Church, don't focus on the kingdom of this world, kingdoms of this world. Focus on this kingdom that cannot, it's impossible to be shaken. Now, somebody may argue, well, there's been some spiritual giants of the faith the last several years that have fallen. So what about that? I thought this kingdom couldn't be shaken. We know God is holy. God is really in the business of exposing sin. Scripture says whatever is hidden will be revealed. And yeah, it does incredible damage to the gospel. It does incredible damage to the reputation of us, me, you. But I'm just going to be honest. Holiness in God's eyes trumps reputation. He's going to allow sin to be exposed. The scripture I ran across years ago, 1 Peter 4:17, it's time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins there, what about the world? Woe to the world, because the judgment begins with the house of the Lord. So even though we see leaders fall, God bless them, doing incredible, damage, this kingdom still can't be shaken. It's an eternal kingdom. Praise team, go ahead and come up. So here's what I want to do. I want us to pray again for his kingdom to come. Knowing what we know, knowing what Scripture says about the kingdom, I want us to spend a few minutes thinking through these references and praying for his kingdom to truly come. I just think about the possibilities. I just think about the potential. His kingdom coming. I just think about a harvest of souls when his kingdom comes. I just think about sick bodies. I prayed for two people this week. Me and another brother prayed for one of those that are terminally ill with cancer. And I know some good saints of the Lord have gone on to be with the Lord because of the cancer. There's an ultimate healing there. But what if his kingdom would come? What if us as believers in Jesus Christ, what if we realized how precious this treasure is that we have being part of the kingdom of God? What would that look like in us personally? What would that look like in me on a daily basis? If I treasured Jesus above everything else, nothing else but him, if he had first place in my heart every day that I'm awake, every breath I take, what would that look like? So church, just pray for his kingdom to come. Pray that it come near. Pray for a fresh realization of what it means to be part of that kingdom. And I'll close this. Father, I thank you that you're incredibly patient, incredibly gracious. And as I think about what you, Jesus, did on the cross for us, how could we not treasure that? How could we choose things of this world over? God, I just pray for a holy reset in my heart this day, in the hearts of these people. And Lord, in the future, when we pray for your kingdom to come, I pray that it truly makes a difference in our midst. Oh, you're such a good, good Father. Such a loving and gracious God. Father, as we go out of this house this week, I pray that you use us for your glory. Heighten our awareness of the need for people around us that are hurting. Maybe just a kind word, maybe just open a door for someone, just smile at someone. I pray for holy encounters for us this week as we go about doing the things that we're allowed to do. Give us Jesus. Give us Jesus. We love you for who you are, Father. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.